BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast. We're in the mornings this week in for Grimmy. Our guest is legend Sir David Attenborough. Real or no real is some of the best facts of the year. Chris has been carolling. It wasn't what he expected. And we call up Dialer Carol and request another Christmas hit. Scott Mills. I've invested in some special Christmas music, which will make us all feel like we're in a Disney film.
We're nearly there, Mills, aren't
we? I know.
We've turned the corner.
Listen to it, though. It's good, isn't it?
Love it. La, 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 la. I'm very excited for these next few days with you. It's weird doing this show with you around Christmas time. It's like Christmas is a time to spend with your family, isn't it?
I'm practically that.
But it's fine seeing you on Christmas Day.
What do you mean, fine?
I just mean it's
not unpleasant.
No, and last year when I did it, I kind of thought, is this going to be weird? But it wasn't.
Do you
was
know
it?
What? I really like being on Radio 1 on Christmas Day.
I agree.
It's really good. Boxing Day and the day after, not so much. No, I'm just saying, because sometimes when you're on air at 6:30 in the morning, like last year, it's like, hello, is there anyone there? But I know there's always people there, but just they're a bit quiet on Boxing Day and the day after, that's all.
I also feel a bit weird with you today after seeing you on the TV on Saturday night.
Why? Is this the same as when you get with Fern Cotton?
Yeah, it's a bit weird because I know you. And then when I was watching that, I was thinking, oh, there he is. And then I forget that I'm going to be able to speak to you about it on Monday. I mean, what was going on with your face?
What do you mean?
The facial expression you pulled during the group dance. It was great to see you back on.
Thank you.
But did anyone ask you to wear the crab hands, or was that an extra? Because you were wearing the suit as if you were going to do something quite normal, and then the crab hands came out.
Well, the thing is, you can't wear, there were only just slight references to the crab, so you can't wear the whole crab suit for the entire group dance. Everyone, if you noticed on Strictly on the weekend, was coordinated for that dance. Everyone was wearing blue. So I couldn't have worn a red suit. I would have stuck out a mile.
Right.
So
the crab hands didn't,
I'll tell you what happened. So they ordered an entire crab outfit just so they could cut the hands off. And make crab mittens.
No way.
Yes.
Crab mittens.
Crab mittens. And then, so the crab mittens didn't arrive until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And everyone was like, where's the crab hands? Where's the crab hands? It was like drama going on.
Right.
And then they arrived and, but you know, I've got really fat fingers.
Mm.
So they were lady gloves. They were red lady gloves. And I had 5 seconds to put them on because there's a bit where we start at a table and I don't have them on.
Yes, I noticed.
And then I have to put them on in literally 5 seconds.
See,
and it was a problem because they were lady gloves and they wouldn't fit my fat fingers.
I thought it was a wardrobe malfunction, you see. I thought what had happened is you were all in normal wear. You then had to get your crab outfit on, but you haven't managed it. All you've managed is the crab hands.
No.
But you're going to go with that.
No, that was always the case. But, so all of Saturday afternoon, I'm practicing how to get these gloves on within 5 seconds.
This is great.
And this happened. I was like, I actually had to go to the wardrobe department and go, right, so these are meant for ladies. And like, if you look, the fingers are really thin, the red fingers. So can you make them into some kind of mitten thing? Because I'm not going to be able to get them on in 5 seconds. And I couldn't. I was like trying for about 2 hours, like, and counting like 1, 2, 3. For, and I'd only got half of one on. Then they tailored them to my fat fingers, all fine.
Can I also ask, what was with the acting? Because from what I could see, it was like you were behind your dancer, Joanne, and it looked like she turned around and sort of told you off. You did the crab thing, but then it was all fine because you got crab hands. It was like she kind of forgave you for having, because you got these weird crab hands.
Yeah. I mean, everyone had like highlights of their series. You see, so Alison was just like sassy and walking down with some glasses. And
yes, and
there was Steve Backshall on a rope.
The guy from MasterChef had a cake.
That's right. Yeah, and obviously my highlight of the series was the crab hand. So that's why it was.
Oh,
on.
It was so good to see it again.
Did Bill. You enjoy it?
You know how much I love it.
Yeah. Right. Who have we got this morning? We've got Sarah and Paul driving to London from Hull. Ready to fly to Venice for Christmas. Lush. A lot of people going away, actually, and driving at the moment on the way there. Dan from Rumford says, cracking show already, two songs in, love the darkness. Don't get texts like that very often, do you? Since 2004.
Yeah.
Big David from Wrexham is on, delivering parcels for Christmas. Mark is on his way also to Gatwick to go to Tenerife for Christmas. Are you and Chris buying each other mum's presents for Christmas this year? Phil off of Watford.
We need to discuss that. We should seriously think about that, Mills.
Yeah, I think we're going to. So what we do is we buy presents for each other's mums. I'll explain more later. And Kaylee, who's been at the work Christmas party last night and is still up Googling topless pictures of Calvin Harris. Just because.
Who would have thought?
I know.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills here. In for Grimmy for this week and next week, except New Year's Day. Then you've got Dev.
Do you need to keep saying that?
Well, people might be expecting it.
It feels like an advert. It feels like an advert for sofas or something. You just get in the small print very quickly.
Plenty of free parking.
Yeah, it's like one of those.
Bouncy castle for the kids. It's 7:12. Did you go... I thought you were going caroling yesterday.
I did. I was going to give it a go. So, right, there was two options. My mates went to the darts.
Very Christmassy.
Right? And then I had the option of, if I didn't go to the darts, I could go caroling. I was quite keen to go to the darts, but then I thought, very early start today.
It doesn't work with these hours, Chris.
And you wouldn't have been impressed with me.
Absolutely not.
So, anyway, I didn't go to the darts and thought I'd go caroling. Very different.
Very different. Can I just say, what time did your mate leave you a message after the darts on your phone?
I think it's about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, exactly the reason why you shouldn't have gone to the darts.
Yeah.
But okay, so you took the sensible option. I'm very proud. You went caroling. And is this because you saw an advert or something earlier in the week?
I saw this big... I passed this advert saying carols are on Sunday night. I thought, what a lovely Christmas thing to do. I've never really done that before.
It's quite American. But from films, which is my only experience of caroling, really, it's normally... Isn't it like quite sickly children going around massive houses in middle America singing?
I thought it was going to be a bit like bonfire evening. That's how I saw it in my head. I saw it outside, wrap up warm, couple of drinks, you know, mulled wine, maybe a hog roast, something like that.
Yeah,
be
lovely,
great.
Yeah.
So I kind of prepared for it. I had I went to the pub, had a couple of drinks, thought I'd go out caroling next, you know, this will be good. Turned up though, and it was quite a formal affair, actually inside a church. I massively misjudged it.
Right. Did you stay?
I did stay for a little bit, but then I thought, I'm out my depth here.
Right. So was it a church service?
It was, yes. It was a full... it was mass.
Did you think it was going to be... Like, just outside with a roast on and, like...
I thought a roast would be on. Not sparklers,
wines.
But you know what I mean? I thought it was an outside affair.
Yeah.
I wrapped up so warm, excessively warm.
Mm. And you were how many pints in by the time you arrived at the church?
Probably two
or three.
Yeah.
Okay. So not awful.
No, not awful.
It could have been a lot worse.
Also, to try and be quite classy, because I thought this was a classy thing to do, I got a present a few years back, which was a hip flask. And I think it was meant as a kind of symbolic thing, but I thought this is what you're meant to do on, you know, outside events. You should make a hip flask, right?
Are hip flasks classy?
I thought so. I thought this was like the nice wintry thing to do.
I know that the one Tim off of Bargain Hunt's got one.
Yes, that's what I mean. I can imagine him being an ambassador of this kind of thing.
He fills it with some sweet sherry. I mean, it's only at Christmas, I think.
Anyway, it was misjudged. The whole thing was misjudged.
Brilliant. So what time did you get in?
It was very sensible. I was back in time for Homeland.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Why you're so fresh today.
But are you proud of me? I love going to the darts. That's, you know, me and my mate's big Christmas night out.
I know, but I've heard the message from your mate, which we can't play it, can we?
I don't think we can.
I don't think we can play it, Fiona. It's too rude. But that would have been you this morning. So yes, I am proud. You've changed. Because a couple of years ago, you were coming in here with your hair all on the wonk, like straight from the darts.
Mm. We might be able to play you an edited highlight from the voicemail. Is that?
I think that's fine.
Right, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, we've got Real or No Real coming up. And what we're going to do is, you know, we normally do this in the afternoon, just after 3:30. We've got our best Real or No Real facts from the entire year. Because the thing is about Real or No Real, you hear it and you go, that's a brilliant fact, but you can never remember whether it was true or not, whether it was real or no real. I can't anyway. So we're going to test you on those. We're going to get one of our listeners on air with us. We're doing Best of Real or No Real for the year. So it'll be stuff that you might remember if you listen to us in the afternoon, but I can't remember whether they're real or not. We'll do it in a minute.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Paul.
Morning, how you doing?
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate.
Good, good, good. A couple of days left to Christmas?
Just a couple more, yeah. Nearly there.
Where will you be?
I'll be at home with the family.
Are you hoping for anything nice?
Yeah, I'm always hoping, but we'll see.
Well, welcome to Monday's Real or No Real, because we're doing the breakfast show this week and next week. We are doing some of our favourite facts from Real or No Real from the past 12 months. Now, what always happens when we play this game is I can't remember which ones are real and which ones aren't. So, you play along with Paul, Chris.
Yep, okay.
Okay, these are all ones that have been on Real or No Real in 2014, but I bet you can't remember whether they're real or not. Here's your first one.
Bruce Forsyth is older than sliced bread.
Oh, you see, this game's such a problem. Because the thing is, we do this every day, right? So I do remember this fact, but I don't remember whether it's real or no real. Rubbish. As the kind of thing I would say in the pub is potentially real, but I can't be sure about it.
You remember the fact, but you don't remember whether it's true. Paul?
It's a hard one, isn't it, really? I think it's probably true.
But when they say the best thing since sliced bread, I mean, that suggests that sliced bread was ages ago, because I thought that's the point of the phrase, isn't it? That this great thing happened such a long time ago, and this is the best thing since then, you know, in that amount of time, it's the best thing. Which suggests to me, then, that Bruce Forsyth must be very, very old.
He is pretty old. But, Paul, do you think he's older than sliced bread, Brucey?
I'm going to say yes on that one.
So you're saying real?
Yeah, I'm saying real.
Chris?
I think he's old, but I don't think he's that old. I'm going to say no real.
That one is real.
Well done, Paul.
Yeah.
Brucey is 86, born in February 1928. Sliced bread was first sold in July 1928. So Bruce Forsyth only just slightly older than bread being sliced for the first time.
That's ridiculous.
Great fact. And next.
Wembley Stadium's 134-metre-high arch is stuffed with Middlesbrough football shirts, left there by the builders who are fans of the club and thought it would bring their team good luck.
I've heard of this happening before at other football clubs, where builders will go in, and sometimes they'll be from rival clubs. Now, this happened with Southampton and Portsmouth as well, but I can't remember which way round. So I don't want to go too deep into the story, because I'm going to insult one team here. And you don't want to do that with either of those teams.
So as the builders are building the new stands or whatever and the new stadium, in the boulders they will leave rival shirts from rival clubs.
Yeah, just so that they know whenever they see the ground or the training ground, whatever they're building, that, you know, potentially there's something very annoying in there.
Paul, have you ever heard of this before?
I haven't, to be honest, but I'm not a massive football fan, but to be honest, I'd probably say it's real, this one.
Do you not support football at all?
No, I'm not a massive football supporter. I'm more into my motorsports.
But then the arch being stuffed is a weird one for me as well, because I always look at it, but I can't imagine it being stuffed. There's something a bit weird I find about that phrase in connection with the Wembley arch.
At Wembley as well. Is this the new Wembley?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so it was not even that long ago when it was built. So the builders left Middlesbrough football shirts in the arch of Wembley Stadium. Real or no real? Paul.
I'm going to say real again on this one.
I've got a feeling this is real.
That one is real.
Yes. The builders of Wembley's arch were from a Middlesbrough company, and they all broke the rules to sneak some Middlesbrough shirt into the inside of the construction.
Thing is, no one can get to the arch. It's the arch. It's massively high.
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy to remove.
We're doing our best real or no reels from the year. This is our next one.
Niall from One Direction refuses to set up the fingerprint recognition button on his iPhone because he's worried people will steal his fingers.
It's a common problem.
But they'd have to steal his phone as well. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? They'd have to steal the phone and his fingers for this to be a situation that you get worried by.
But imagine how much his fingers are worth.
Good point. Do you think any of One Direction have insured anything about them? You've got your... is it your tongue or your throat insured?
What?
Is this true? I heard this. Someone told me this.
Me?
Yeah, because of your voice. Your voice is so famous that you've got something insured. Is it the tonsils?
No. I haven't got any tonsils. I've had them out.
If you had your tonsils removed, those tonsils alone would be worth, what, like a grand each?
I was
something.
5 at the time when they had them taken out, I think. 5 or 6. God. I was really young.
But if you were to, if someone was to mess with your voice, imagine the nation wouldn't have the Scott Mills experience they have now.
But no, I don't know where you heard that from. It's absolutely not true.
Is that
not
real?
No, I don't have my voice insured. But
have you got anything of you insured?
No. But does Niall refuse to set up fingerprint recognition on his phone because he's worried people will steal his fingers? Paul?
I'm going to say no real on this one.
What are you basing that on, Paul?
To be honest, I don't think he's that. I don't think he's really thought about it that much. So I don't think he's that bothered about his fingers or his phone being stolen.
I think, though, if you're in a...
I'm sure he's bothered about his fingers being stolen, mate.
Yeah, but I don't think he's really worried that it's ever going to happen.
True.
To be honest.
I think that I would be paranoid if I was that famous about everything.
Well, because people want every little bit of you. Yeah. That's a phrase, isn't it? They
want... Everyone wants a piece.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust anybody. Mm. So, Paul, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm going to say no real.
I'm going to go real on this one, Mills.
That one is no real.
Paul, you were right to go no real. You were right. No, I doesn't care.
And next, Florence from Florence and the Machine uses one of her Brit Awards as a kitchen roll holder.
Once you've won a few awards, you get kind of lazy with where you're going to put them. And also, you will start using them as a gimmick. Yeah, you would use that. If you had a few Brit Awards, and I've got a feeling Florence has more than one, you would start to use it, because you only need one for display, don't you? The rest can be used for functional use.
Were you saying that people get blasé about awards?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Where do you store your awards?
I've got only about three or four.
You've got more than that.
5 or 6. Mm. And they are in my living room.
And one are they?
And one in a toilet.
Exactly, that's what I mean. But if you only had one award, you wouldn't just be putting it in the toilet, would you?
Well, I go in there a lot. And so do other people. Everyone visits the toilet in my house. I don't think that's a kind of bad place to put it.
Paul, do you reckon a Brit Award... I mean, it's good for this, isn't it? It's the right shape.
Well, it is really, isn't it? To be honest, I can see people having them in the toilets, because like Scott said, at the end of the day, everyone goes to the toilet when they visit your house, don't they?
The toilet is probably one of the most visited places in my house.
Yeah, which one? Which toilet?
I've got two. That's
be honest.
Okay, three. One's the one with the tip jar in. I don't know why that's there.
And to be fair to you, one of the toilets you can't really use because you can't really get into it. It's like you've got a cupboard and you've gone, I'm going to turn this into a toilet.
Well, it was there when
Some
I moved
poor
in.
Poor plumber and decorator has tried to turn that into a toilet.
Seriously, have you tried to fit yourself in there? It's impossible, right?
You've had to put in doors which kind of slide to the side.
Do you mean the one on ground level?
Yeah, on the middle floor.
Right, you can't get in there. Seriously. I would like to see anyone larger than me get in there. It wouldn't happen. Anyway.
You have to walk in and then you have to literally reverse out. If you want to go for a number two, I know this isn't time to think about it, you have to kind of go and sit and reverse in there.
Yeah. It's you really have to manoeuvre yourself and think about it. Has Florence, though, got one of her Brit Awards as a kitchen roll holder? Paul?
I'm going to say real on this one because I'd use one as a toilet roll holder as well.
Oh, get you. You haven't got any Brit Awards yet and you're already saying you'll use one as a kitchen roll holder.
Well, it seems like you say it's the right shape.
I'm going real.
That one is real.
Yes, Florence uses her first Brit Award from 2009 in her kitchen as a handy paper towel dispenser. And at the end of that round of Real or No Real, our listener Paul has got...
Paul, you got 40 for a novice. You smashed it. I only got 20.
Yes, you beat Chris.
Nice one.
Have an amazing Christmas, Paul.
And you guys.
Thanks for being on. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
I've been watching some really bad ones over the last week.
You're the king of finding these weird TV shows, generally, and what you'd consider to be quite rubbish TV, but for some reason it's amazingly funny or weird, and you just kind of want to watch it.
So I've been searching out these quite bad, often quite 90s, Christmas films, and I'll share this with you in the next 5-10 minutes. Because, like, you sit down of an evening, you're like, OK, I want to watch a Christmas film, but I've seen Elf, and I've seen Home Alone 1 and 2,
even though apparently there are five.
Are there?
I was going through my planner the other night, and you've got, like, the first two. You've got the original one and then Lost in New York. There's, like, number three, I think, may still have Macaulay Culkin in it. And then four and five is a completely different kid.
Is it? Because I was just wondering, is it just really... I mean, after five times of leaving your child...
I know.
It's,
I mean,
it's massively incompetent, isn't it?
They've stretched it out, haven't they? I mean, have you seen Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Oh, my God, that's a good one.
Really?
But I've, yes. But, I mean, like, you know, I've seen Scrooged, I've seen all of them.
So you're making this your mission? Are you making this your mission to kind of just watch as many Christmas films as possible? Just to kind of sift... to find the gold.
Yeah, and if you are struggling with one to watch later today, if you're not feeling that festive, I've got the answer for you in about 5 minutes.
Here we go.
Right, here we go. I could bosh some nachos right now.
I know what you mean. Christmas nachos.
Oh. Merry Christmas!
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
We're playing Feliz Navidad on Radio 1.
Feliz Navidad.
Good morning to Katie, who's enjoying it as she finds out that Harry Styles has once again got a December girlfriend.
Has he?
I think so. I told you, he always gets a winter warmer. That's why I asked him that question last time I interviewed them. Do you ever get a girlfriend just for winter?
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
So now I'm going to recommend a film that I want... Well, if you've got a bit of a spare time today, maybe you're off work already. I want you to watch today. I've been scouring the internet for quite rubbish Christmas films over the last week. Because we've all seen, like, the classic ones.
Mm.
We've all seen The Home Alones and The Elves. We've all seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, let's be honest. But have any of you seen... the 1998 film starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Jessica Biel, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay, so you watch this over the weekend then,
yeah.
Right?
And it's available. You can find this on your Skies or your Virgins or your Apples. You'll find it. Just search I'll Be Home for Christmas. Do you want to know the plot?
Go on then.
So, a few days before Christmas Eve, this guy Jake... his dad offers to give him a Porsche, a 1957 Porsche, if he's home by 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve when the family have dinner. But he doesn't want to go. He wants to go to Cabo with his girlfriend instead. And he's like, Dad, I don't want to come home for the holidays. He's like, there's a Porsche in it for you, mate. Which makes you hate him immediately. But he ends up stranded in the desert in a Santa suit and leaves his girlfriend, Jessica Biel, behind. And there is a rival for her affections who muscles in on the action while he's stranded in the desert dressed as Santa.
I see, and then it's whether he'll get back home.
It's whether he gets back home in time for Christmas and get the Porsche with many hilarious obstacles in his way, and will he get his girlfriend back? I loved it.
Right, when you say you loved it, I mean, a quick Google here, it's not got many stars.
No, it's really good. Would you like to hear the theme tune when the credits roll at the end?
You tell me.
It's by NSYNC. It's proper late 90s, this film. I'll play you a little bit of it. How ironic that Jessica Biel then ended up going out with Justin Timberlake. Yes. This just sounds like one of those songs at the end of a film that you never actually hear because you don't watch all the credits. You ready? Watch this film later, it's great.
And all the stockings are hung by the fireside, waiting for Santa to arrive.
Where do you find this stuff?
All the love will show.
I mean, it's just, you can hear it, it's Justin Timberlake on Radio 1, so that's okay.
Christmas time and all the kids will see.
Admittedly, you can hear some of the other NSYNC members as well.
It's the best time of year.
I think that's Joey Fatone.
BBC Radio 1.
So, David Attenborough, good morning.
Hi. Oh, you are over there.
Hello. It's an absolute honour to meet you because, I mean, it has been, we were just saying yesterday, it is one of my life goals.
Yeah.
Now achieved. You have taught us so much about the world over so many years, and your new show is called Conquest of the Skies 3D, and it looks quite incredible. It's on New Year's Day. Can you tell us a bit more about it? You're exploring the animals of the sky.
It's a three-part series, and it chronicles the way in which animals, which of course started by living on the ground, well, actually they started in the sea, but then they moved onto the ground. It chronicles the history of the way in which that has developed. And 300 million years ago, the first things left the ground and took to the skies. They were actually insects. They were dragonflies. And they were huge. They were 3 feet across, a metre or so across. Wow.
Three-foot dragonflies?
Yeah, three feet across, yeah.
That's incredible.
A metre across, yeah.
Yeah.
God. They were amazing insects. But dragonflies are still amazing insects. I mean, they're fabulous. Very beautiful, but I mean, the way, you know, their wings operate independently, four separate wings. And they can do extraordinary aerobatics. Anyway, so that led to the insects. And the insects had the skies to themselves for about 100 million years. And then a branch of the reptiles moved into the sky. Pterodactyls, pterosaurs. They were flying above the heads of the dinosaurs. And they did well for not quite as long, but a bit, a few million years, a few tens of millions of years. And after that, one branch of the dinosaurs acquired feathers, and they took the skies, and they were the ancestors of the birds. And then there was the big disaster, which killed off all the dinosaurs, also killed off all the pterosaurs. Didn't kill off all the birds, but some of the birds. And so the birds survived, and they dominated the skies a bit. And then very soon after that, the mammals produced animals, which were bats. And the bats lived, occupied the night skies. So that's the history. And what we do is to show how that developed and how each of those groups have developed all different kinds of ways of flying.
Did you learn anything from making this show that you didn't know before?
Well, you do a lot of research, you know. I mean, the outlines I knew pretty well. And in fact, one of the reasons for doing the show is that there have been huge and very, very passionate arguments amongst paleontologists about the origin of the birds, about how birds arrived, and precisely who were the ancestors, which are the ancestors of the birds. And in the last 20 years, 15, 20 years, they have been fantastic fossils have been found in China, which were dinosaurs, clearly dinosaurs. And if you had found them in many of the deposits where we find dinosaurs, you would say, OK, they're dinosaurs. But because they were preserved in circumstances in China where very fine detail was preserved, you suddenly saw that it was a thing that looked like a dinosaur, but bless me, it had feathers all the way around it. And that was an astonishment. And we now know pretty well in detail how, in fact, the birds, in fact, evolved from that. Mm. So it's new stuff. That's new stuff. But the outlines, almost every front, there's always scientific research going on. There's always new things to discover. Mm. I mean, how does a blowfly land on the ceiling? Huh? Yeah. I mean, well, some recent research.
That's such a good question. No, that's going to scramble my brain for ages now.
Yeah.
I've not thought of that.
Okay, well then, how do starlings do this? You know, when they mass in the evening, when you get 10,000 in a flock, and they drift around and form clouds, and they divide, and then they come together again. How do they keep together? How do they all move at the same time? That too is a subject of recent research.
Are there any animals that you would say that you're scared of? I know there are some dangerous animals, but are you personally scared?
Yeah, oh yes, oh sure, you ought, and so you ought to be. I mean, not scared so that you are actually taking leave of your senses, you know, or your judgment, but sufficiently scared to be extremely cautious. I mean, I've never actually met, thank goodness, I've never actually met a king cobra. Now, king cobras grow to about 4 meters long, you know, 12 feet or so, and they are absolutely fearless. They have a bite which is certain death. They rear up as tall as a man, and they're very aggressive. And if you met one coming down a path in India, which is where they live, you would be very wise to retreat.
I like the word met in that situation. Yeah, well, I've never met one.
Well, that's right. Well, that is what's meeting one.
Have you come close to meeting one?
No. Not likely. No. No, I have no ambition. Well, that's not true. I would quite like to see a king cobra, actually.
Yeah, from a distance.
To be truthful, but I would certainly be extremely cautious.
What people don't see, obviously, on TV or sometimes realise is that you can be waiting around sometimes weeks for these animals to appear.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the cameraman waits around for weeks. Yours truly doesn't. and that's the great problem of these programmes is that I get a heck of a lot of reflected glory. You know, and people say, what was it like out there? I said, well, on that particular one, I wasn't there, you know, because, you know, we had 20 different cameramen on that show, and I can't be in 20 different places. And they say, oh, yes, of course, I understand that. But actually, what was it like there? And I say, come on. <man." laughs>
Had there ever been a moment, though, where you maybe have been having a cup of tea or whatever, and just as that polar bear you're looking for walks right past you?
There are things when suddenly what you've been looking for suddenly turns up and you aren't ready. But again, it's the cameraman that's the problem. Actually, life is much easier than it was. You know, in the old days, you know, with clockwork cameras and one thing or another, your camera run would only run perhaps a minute and a half or 2 minutes without winding it up.
Wow.
After you'd shot 2 minutes, 40 seconds worth of film, you had to take the side off the camera and put another thing in. And that no longer happens now, as you know. Electronic cameras can run forever. And not only that, not only can they run forever, but, I mean, whereas in the old days, if you were waiting for that particular shot when the bird landed on the nest and feared, no, in order to edit it properly, you have to get it just before the bird arrives. No good coming in when the bird is there. Mm. You've got to get the bird arriving. So you're sitting there, tense, waiting for the moment, looking, listening to the calls, you know, is it coming, passing over. These days you don't do that.
No.
Because it's like scoring a goal in sport. I mean, you know, you have a device on the camera that when the goal is scored, you can immediately go back.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's the same with birds landing on nests.
I'm enjoying that celebrities are kind of winding down for Christmas on social media now. A lot of people just kind of sign off over the holiday season.
Out of office.
Yeah, it really is. Like, after today, that's kind of it. You won't hear anything from them. So Niall Horan tweeted earlier, time off now, friends and family, food, drink, and nothing else. Quiet Christmas, fingers crossed. Do you know what that means? It means don't go knocking on his door on Christmas Day, fans. Also, there's not really much happening today, because like I said, they're all out of office. Kelly Brook, though, is really upset about the new Instagram filters. When did they change them, she says.
It's so good, that, isn't it? Like, people losing thousands and thousands where they've bought the followers is brilliant.
Yeah, but also they've changed the filters. Is Valencia off? Because that's my absolute favourite. Is it off?
Oh, no! I wasn't aware of this either. But the thing is, you know when a celebrity signs off for Christmas, like you're suggesting?
Yeah.
I don't think that they really can. I think it's a nice idea, but I guarantee you at some point there'll be a tweet. When they're a bit tired and emotional.
Yeah.
There'll be a late night tweet.
And you know the first person that will do that tweet in the world of celebrity?
Liam Payne.
You thought the same as me.
I'm waiting for it.
So am I.
No point signing off for Christmas.
His tweet game is strong. I remember last year he was like, right, that's it, everyone. Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, I'm off now. And then, sure enough, I think it might have been Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the tweets were in full effect. Really strong. What have you found today?
In other news, yeah. You know you've got that statue of you in Eastleigh.
That's not true.
In the centre of Eastleigh, there's a statue of
There Scott isn't, Mills. Though!
There is. You're dressed as a railway worker.
That's not me.
But it is you.
Eastleigh's in Hampshire and is my hometown. There is not a statue there.
I've just seen this, right? And there's a statue that's gone up in Madeira of Cristiano Ronaldo, right? Yeah. Now, I want you to cast your eye over the statue and just tell me what sticks out.
The 29-year-old said, this is a very special moment to have a statue of me. It's part of a Ronaldo personal museum.
Okay, so there's the... And I'm going to zoom in.
Show me the picture. Oh, wow.
Now, that's very generous.
That's generous, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, like, obviously the size of it, but...
But it could be a crease. That's what I'm saying. It could be a crease.
What, in metal?
But it's misjudged. But I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
There's
a picture of him, and his head is right next to it, and it's bigger than his head.
I think they've gone too far with it.
I mean, they've been very kind. Do you think that he was involved in that? Like, yeah, no. Could you make that bit a little bit?
He's very proud.
So he should be.
Pictures on the BBC Sport website. Actually,
I would be proud of that.
But very different to your statue. If you put the two side by side.
Oh, good news, everyone. Valencia's still on. You just have to go to manage and then add it back in.
Good. Oh, we're going to tweet the picture of Ronaldo from the BBC R1 Twitter there.
There we are. So, at BBC R1.
You'll see what I mean.
Go have a look for yourself. Quite incredible. The Scott
Mills Daily. So, with the advances in technology that you must have seen, is there now... Have you a new ambition, you know, an animal or creature that you have never been able to see before, but you now really aspire to see?
If you had asked me that question a year ago, I would have had no hesitation in saying yes. I would. The one thing that I don't think we'll ever get, because I don't see how you could possibly do it, would be looking at a giant squid in the depths of the Pacific Ocean. That must be amazing. You know, it's as long as a lorry. I mean, it's a huge, great thing. But actually, the Japanese have now done it. It's an amazing, amazing shot. I know the submersible craft because I've just been filming in that submersible on the Barrier Reef. So I know the craft and I know where they went and I know how deep they were. And they found this thing. Just amazing. And what's more, they asked me, they're nice people in Japan, they asked me whether I'd do the commentary of the English version, which I did. So, of course, everyone else says, it's wonderful, you found the giant squid. I didn't find the giant squid.
I asked the Radio 1 listeners what they wanted to ask you on Twitter, and a lot of them wanted you to adopt them or read
adopt them.
Yeah, a lot. or just read them a bedtime story, because that would be quite nice. I found this blog online, and it's a girl from Reading University who went to one of your recent book signings in Oxford. And this kind of just shows you, I think, what effect you have on people of all ages. So she queued up to meet you and get her book signed. But for some reason, she really wanted to know how you take your tea, milk, sugar, etc. And she never got that answer to that question. So
it's a state secret.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. You have to go to MI5 to get that sort of stuff. Okay, I take it weak with just a dash of milk and no sugar.
There we are. She's going to be happy now. Hi, I said as his pen trailed across my open book. He looked up, smiling. How are you? I'm really good, thanks. I wrote you a note. I reached into my pocket and held out my note to him, embarrassed of how shaky my hand was. Oh, that's sweet. I will read it. My life is complete. Somewhere in there, I shook his hand. I don't remember how it felt. I just remember it happened. I genuinely had to hold back tears as I walked away, suddenly remembering I'd forgotten to ask about his tea preference. It was all over so fast and there were so many regrets. Why didn't I stay longer? Why didn't I say more? As we walked back to the train station, starry-eyed and in disbelief, Daisy exhaled. Those were the most exhausting 20 seconds of my life.
That's brilliant. Good. I think you must be the ultimate person to go to the pub with. Right, and sit round, have a drink, and the stories that you've got are just incredible.
He sounds like a terrible bore, this bloke. Going to the pub never stops telling stories about himself.
No, it's great.
Is it fair to say you must have a story about, would you say, every animal? Like, you could just say an animal, and then you would have a story about them.
Well, I don't know how many million animals there are in the world, but there are quite a lot.
Mm. Can we quickly think of an animal, Scott?
You can try. Go.
There's one here. Komodo dragon.
Oh, I can go on about that for hours. How long did you want about that? We were actually the first people to film Komodo Dragon in 1954. Not quite true, because there was an American crew in the 20s who took one or two shots, but we were the first to make a continuous film about it.
There we are. The first thing you pick out of thin air, and Sir David was the first person to film it.
He knew.
I don't think he did.
I'll tell you what, we've got some folded up here. If you can just take one. And it's just the first story that comes to your head when you see that animal. If you'd read it.
A camel?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the bits and pieces about camel. What do you want to know about camel?
just an experience that you've had.
Oh, they spit at you.
Do they?
Yeah, they've got a lot of spit, the camels. And that's, if you run a zoo, you've got to be very careful who you introduce a camel to. Because they get a lot of froth in the mouth when they get fed up. And they go...
And, excellent camel impression.
What?
That was an excellent camel impression.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I think that's
the animal. What else I don't know much about camel. Well, another interesting thing about camel, you know, there are actually there are two sorts of camels, Bactrian camels and Arabian camels, dromedaries, and some have two camel humps and one have one hump. The one hump camel probably is extinct as a wild animal. Nearly all the one hump camels we know are domesticated or from domesticated stock. So actually precisely what the ancestors of the present-day camel were, we don't know.
We want to crack open a beer and just sit there listening.
Moose. I've been charged by a moose.
Of course you have.
I have. Overcharged.
When was that?
Well, we were... Most of these things, when they charge, you know, they don't really mean it. Because they don't actually want to get involved. They want to frighten you off. Well, it did a good job on me, I tell you. I mean, they are very big things, moose. Mm. And they have these huge antlers. And they're very odd-looking creatures. And this was up in Alaska. And we were trying to get shots of moose, and we did only too well. Because you traipse after them, and it's very boggy and... falling into pools of icy water and one thing or another. But we did eventually get the shot, and eventually the moose got fed up with us and turned and ran towards us. I don't say it too fell into a pool, but it's very difficult to charge in that sort of country. But we got the shot. So we did get a shot of the moose. Yeah.
Have you been charged by many animals?
No, I haven't been charged by... Most things, I mean, an elephant... If an elephant, you come across an elephant and he turns round and he puts out his, waggles his ears, put them out, lifts up his trunk makes a nasty noise, well, he's trying to scare you off.
Yeah.
And if you don't move, he will run towards you. And if you don't move then, you deserve whatever you get.
I mean, it's a warning sign, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, they don't particularly want to get... involved with you, and if you can get you going, get you out of the way without causing themselves a lot of too much trouble, that's fine as far as they're concerned.
It's been so nice and fascinating to speak to you and finally meet you today. Where will you be for Christmas, Sir David?
Home. Mm-hmm. Home in Richmond.
Marvellous. Okay. Yeah. Having a quiet one.
Yeah, with family, grandchildren, that sort of thing.
Very nice. Okay, well, have a really nice Christmas. And don't forget, it's David Attenborough's Conquest of the Skies 3D, 7 p.m. New Year's Day on Sky 3D, and just plain old 2D on Sky 1.
That's correct.
Thanks. Thanks, okay. Sir David.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Yes. Good morning. It's 9:10.
Why are you pulling weird faces?
Santa's coming.
Hey.
Yes. Hey, when are we doing that last-minute panic buy on Christmas Eve? Is it Christmas Eve?
Last minute, I imagine.
Right. Do you want to go tomorrow or Christmas Eve itself?
Let's do Christmas Eve. It's tradition, isn't
it? Well, not like last year. Chris doesn't buy any presents until Christmas Eve. He's one of them. And then wraps it in tin foil and expects that to be acceptable to his friends and family. We were in and out in 20 minutes, I think, last year.
I know, so we're going to have to do well to try beat that.
He just gets so stressed in shops. So, Strictly's finished.
I know. How are you feeling about it?
I feel it's going to be odd. Because even though I got voted out on, what was it, week 6, you still do Strictly stuff all the time. Like, we went back for the Christmas Day show, pre-record, which is going to be on Christmas Day. And Brucey came back for that. That was good. And then, of course, the final, the group dance, which we did on Saturday night. Did you like that?
I loved the group dance. I mean, I loved that you were in full suit, just with crab hands.
Yeah, I had like a wedding suit on, like full waistcoat, but just crab hands, which was from an actual crab fancy dress outfit, and they just cut the claws off and made them
incredible.
Bespoke just for me. But as I was saying earlier, they were made for ladies, these gloves, and I could not get my fat fingers in them, so they had to make me mittens. Because I only had about, I had about 5 seconds to put them on before the camera would be on me. So I was like struggling with them all afternoon, going, I can't get these on. They're meant for ladies with really thin fingers. It was really stressing me out. I mean, I know that's a weird thing to be stressed about.
Yeah.
But imagine if I'm, like, the rest of the dance goes well and I'm there struggling to put on gloves when the camera comes to me. It's not a good look, is it?
I do like the idea that, you know, there's all these finalists there stressing about the performances that they've got to do and all the big props and stuff like that going on, and you must have been there going around, but what about my crab hands?
Yeah, I was. And like, you could see Frankie and Mark and Simon and Caroline stressing out. They're the ones that should have been stressed. They had three dances to do.
Yeah.
And they were in the final. And I was going, does anyone know, like, can anyone make these crab hands bigger? Because I've got really fat fingers. It was a great night, though. And well done to Flack, Caroline Flack. An absolutely worthy winner, I think. Here's the moment when it happened.
The votes have been counted and verified. And I can now reveal the Strictly Come Dancing champions. 2014...
Come on.
Caroline!
Now, when Caroline got the glitter ball, I don't know if you saw, but we all had to run on and do a freestyle dance to Celebration.
Yeah.
I made sure I was right at the back.
Did you have crab hands on at that point
no,
or not?
No, I'd taken them off, but I do not like that at the end of TV shows where they make you dance. It's a bit like when you get eliminated from the competition. The test goes, and now it's time for your final dance. And we haven't rehearsed that. So you end up doing some kind of dad dancing at a wedding.
I think it was very nice that everyone was so happy for her. Because, I mean, everyone, it kind of zoomed in on different people, zoomed in on you looking really happy.
Yeah,
for
no, she totally deserves it.
But inside a bit, you must have been like,
no, because
should have been me.
Of course not. I was never going to win that.
She didn't do the crab, though, Mills.
No, she didn't, but she was an excellent dancer. Well done to all the finalists, actually. They worked so hard this year, but Flack is your winner. Diana Carroll next.
It was Christmas Eve, babe.
In other reality TV news, did you see The Apprentice final?
I still haven't seen it yet, but
confusingly, it was on last night.
Oh, okay.
The final.
Right, okay.
So the winner has been crowned.
So you're not going to do a little plot spoiler now?
Well, you're going to be... It's going to be hard to miss that, really, on social media today.
It's annoying with Twitter, isn't it? It's annoying that you can't plug in a certain word and it just sort of blocks everything from it.
Yeah.
Because I believe the Homeland final as well has been shown in America, I think it is. And I obviously don't want to know what's gone in there. But the thing is, now I've said that, people will tweet, won't they?
But here's the thing. Every week when Greg James has the person that's been fired in, you go, oh, I haven't seen it yet. Look, when do you actually watch it? Have you watched any of it? Or are you saving it all?
I'm a couple behind.
Good luck with that. Anyway, well done to the winner. I think he really... oh, I've said it's a he now. I think he really deserved it.
Okay.
Who do you think it is?
Oh, listen, there's no point. I'm not going to be able to avoid it, am I?
What I will say is that it's disappointing that Mark Wright didn't win Strictly, but well done to him anyway.
Right, brilliant.
And now it's time for Dial a Carol. This is a service that the University of Illinois has provided for millions of years, and it's a bunch of students. They're all voluntary, and if you're not feeling very festive, you can just call them and request a carol or a Christmas song, and they will do it for you. And there's normally a whole team of people in there just waiting to sing your song. So you call up, just say what you want, and they'll sing it for you. And they're very kind and very, very festive, aren't they?
Mm.
And what the best bit is, when you're asking for your song, you can hear other people on the line to various others going, ding dong merrily on high, or whatever they're singing at the same time.
It's just a lovely service, isn't it? It's a strange one because it's a weird thing to have a phone line for.
Yeah, but you just call them and... Oh no, some people are really annoyed with me about The Apprentice. You just call them and they'll do you a carol. So let's ring them now. Come on, you weren't going to avoid it today on social media. Give me a break.
I think it was a silly move.
Okay.
Thank you for calling Dial a Carol. Your call will be received shortly after this message. Please have your name, location where you are calling from, and the holiday song you would like to hear ready for when we answer your call. Please be patient, as it may take us a few moments to get to your call. Thank you, and happy holidays!
for calling Dial a Carol. This is Jamie. Can I ask who's calling?
Hello, my name's Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where are you calling from?
From the United Kingdom.
That is amazing. And what, Carol, can I sing for you?
Could I have Walking in the Air, please?
Ooh, I don't know if we have that one.
But?
Give me one second. In the air?
Nope. Is that a radio station?
I think it's like Walking in the Air. I don't know. I'm so sorry. I can't find the lyrics to that. I'm not really familiar with it. Can I sing you a different one?
Well, I called up 12 months ago and they did promise me that they would have Walking in the Air nailed by now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Would you like me to play a recording of it?
Nah, I want to hear you sing it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you failed 12 months ago. You were like, yeah, I can do Walking in the Air. Granted, it probably wasn't you, but they did promise. It's a shame. Never mind.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Are you sure there's anything else I could sing for you?
Do you want to just give it a go and like just whatever you think it's going to be? Because I would really like Walking in the Air.
I really don't know that song.
I know that doesn't matter at this stage. I think, but just I would just go for it. The lyrics are Walking in the Air. We're walking in the air. We're walking in the air. So but it's really high. So walking in the like that. So in your own time.
What? Okay. Walking in the air. Is that good?
I'll need more than that.
I'm so sorry. I really am unfamiliar with this song. The best I could do is play the YouTube version.
I think what would be a fun idea right now is for you to get the lyrics of Walking in the Air by Aled Jones up on your screen. And then you can just freestyle it whatever you think the song would sound like in your head at the time. Go on, do it for me. It's Christmas. I think you're going to be good at this.
Let's see. Hold on.
Just find the lyrics and just sing away, you know? Because I did really want... I had my heart set on Walking in the Air.
Oh, is this from that movie?
What one?
The Snowman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think you should just give it a go.
Maybe I could sing it with this lady on YouTube. 1 second. Hey, Catherine, how do you make the YouTube video play?
I don't know how to connect it. And if you do that, they won't be able to see you.
Oh, well, I think you should just sing it.
I don't think I can sing this for you.
Oh, go on. Please, just whatever you think it sounds like.
Okay. Walking in the air, floating in the sky. Floating in the air, we're walking in the air.
You're doing it wrong.
We're floating in the... I really hope you are enjoying this. The people far below are sleeping as we fly.
Really good.
Okay.
I love that.
I'm very glad. I'm so glad.
Yeah, that was really good. And have a very Merry Christmas.
You too, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
She was good, but it wasn't right. Or if you're in America...
Walking in the air, floating in the sky, floating in the air.
Those are the best bits of Monday's show. Join us tomorrow from 6:30 when you wake up or get this podcast.